Hallelujah. Let's get our Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. While you're turning there, let me just say that Friday night youth service right here, and where it's all going to happen, 7 o'clock. Amen. All you young people that's going to be here, say amen. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be teaching. Praise God. And so I want all the parents here. If you got young people, you got children and stuff that's in the youth group and stuff, I want you here. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to be doing some needed teaching. Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 20. And just to make everybody sweat real good, since I'm going to be sweating, the AC seems to have taken the night off. And since I'm going to sweat, I'll just make you sweat for a few days. Amen. Friday night, I'm going to be teaching on dating. Praise God. We'll just get it all straightened out then. Praise the Lord. Sounds like I need to. So I'm going to. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're not teaching on dating tonight. We'll do that on Friday night. Ephesians 5, verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she has reverenced her husband. Praise God. And I'm going to take this into week 2, Spirit and Structure 2, and our subtitle tonight would be The Responsibility of Relationship. Amen. The responsibility of relationship. Let's ask the Lord to be with us and help us today. God, we sure need you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what we feel here. We thank you for your Spirit and for your help today. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you and adore you. We magnify and exalt you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. God, we take authority over every spirit, everything that would try to hinder the work of the Holy Ghost here tonight. We bind it in Jesus' name and command it to go, Lord. We cast it back into the darkness from which it came. Let your Spirit move in this place. Let the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost destroy every yoke of bondage. Let freedom, let liberty run, God, and reign in this house, and we'll be quick to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. This today, the Lord is speaking through the Apostle Paul unto the church that is in Ephesus. And he's talking about the marriage relationship between husband and wife. And there are some responsibilities that are given unto each of those. There's responsibility that is given unto the wife, and there is a responsibility that is given unto the husband. And so it is for the betterment of their relationship. As a matter of fact, it is for the goodness, the strength, and the success of their relationship. And it is when we get these things out of order or out of line, or we don't operate according to these things, that relationships tend to suffer and to break apart. And we would see that many, I would venture to say, probably 100% of all divorces can fall under this cloud here today that is given to shadow over the relationship of the husband and the wife, in that the wife is told that she was to be submissive, or that she was to submit herself unto her own husband. And the Bible does not stop there, but it gives the requirements and the responsibility to the husband of the things that he was supposed to do as well. And he was supposed to love his wife even as Christ loved the church. He was to love his wife even as he loved his own body. And so when we get that correct, when husbands love their wives like they love themselves, and then wives oftentimes can be submissive unto them. I do not believe, let me rephrase that, I don't believe it, but I don't support domineering husbands, amen, that want to just rule by the power of a fist, whether that's mentally or physically, and also domineering and just having their wife under their thumb all the time. And I believe that your wife is given unto you for a help meet. The Bible said that the wife was the weaker vessel. It didn't call her the weak vessel. It called her the weaker vessel. In other words, she is there to strengthen you and to help you, in that you are weak yourself. And in combining together in holy matrimony, the Bible teaches us that a twofold cord is not easily broken. And but we believe and know and understand that marriage is a 100-100 commitment. It is not a 50-50 commitment that if I give 50 and you give 50, then we'll have 100. No, you said for better or for worse, and if it's worse, then you still have to do it. You still need to be given 100%. You know what? If you would give 100%, chances are she might pick up and give 100%. And maybe, wife, if you gave 100%, then he would give 100%. Amen. Praise God. You know, the shoe fits on both feet there. And if the wife is submissive, then maybe the man doesn't have to be so domineering. And but at the same time, that if the man isn't so domineering, then the wife can be more submissive. Praise God. This is the plan of God. This is the way that God designed it. But each of them had a responsibility in order to fulfill the relationship, to keep the relationship working. Praise God. And so Paul, speaking here, lets us know that he is not just speaking concerning relationships.
a husband and a wife. But he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, the bride and the Lamb. Revelations 21 and 9, the Bible says that there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show the bride, the Lamb's wife. Praise God. And in the previous chapter, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We believe that the church is the bride of Christ. And we believe that Christ is the bridegroom, and that he is coming after a church that has made herself ready. As a matter of fact, the continuation of that verses there, it said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Praise God. And so we are talking about the relationship between God and his church. And that there is a distinct relationship between the Lamb and the bride. And this is depicted in our text, showing or shadowing the relationship of the husband and the wife. And Paul again said, this is a great mystery, but I am speaking concerning Christ and the church. Praise God. And so with that said, we know that there are responsibilities that are given unto us as the bride of Christ, in that we are to submit ourselves unto God. Amen. Praise God. We submit ourselves unto the Lord. And in doing so, we also know that he loves us with an everlasting love. There is a responsibility that he has, and there is a responsibility that we have. And this responsibility cannot be faulted upon the Lord, because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. Praise God. I do not find a lack of love upon God's part. I do not find any fault in his loving compassion that he has for us individually or as the church. Amen. He is an all-loving God. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that God is love. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we recognize that from the beginning of time, God designed this relationship and showed his plan and his desires with humanity and mankind, even in the Garden of Eden. And we know that God created man in his own image. And we know that Eve was created from the rib of Adam. But beyond all of that, we see that there is a part here that shows what kind of relationship that God desired to have with his creation. And so one evening in the cool of the day, we find that the Spirit of God began to walk back through the garden and began to cry out unto Adam, as he said, Adam, wherefore art thou? Now the Bible says that Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I'm going to come back to that here in just a little bit, but what we see on a whole here, a painted picture here, is the communal relationship between God and his creation. The desire that God has, amen, with humanity. Having known that humanity does have a choice. That he told them that they could partake of any and all the trees that was in the Garden of Eden save one, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so with the choice, they had this choice that they could be obedient or they could be disobedient. That they could follow after the mind, the will, the plan, the voice, the command of God, or yet they could do their own thing. And so now comes the time that the Spirit of God begins to walk into the garden in the cool of the day. And so if I could just say it like this, we see that the time for solemn worship has come once again, and God is in His place. But Adam and Eve are missing. And they are missing simply because that they have sinned. And so instead of being found in the place of worship, we see that they are hidden among the trees. And for the very first time in their lives, they are fearing a just and a loving God. When before their sin, I believe that they rejoiced and took pleasure in hearing the voice of God come walking through the garden. In knowing that the time was soon to come. Because you understand that there was a love relationship that was happening between God and humanity. And I believe that God loved Adam and Eve with every ounce of love that was in His being. For He had created a place of utopia, a euphoric place for man and his wife to abide in. And there they had all the joys that they could possibly have. Now, don't think for one second that in the Garden of Eden that they could just do as they pleased just sit back and sip on iced sweet tea all day long and just wait for God to show up, because the Bible still says and that the commandment of man was that he was to make sure that the garden was taken care of. Praise God. And let me just say this. I'll just say it like this, just simply to give you a little bit of an appetizer for Friday night. Amen. That it wasn't until Adam proved himself in his working ability, amen, that God gave him a wife. In other words, don't even consider a dating until you can prove yourself and your working ability. Amen. We're not interested in having lazy families. Amen. That, amen, men don't have to work, don't need to work. And when you prove yourself in your working ability, you're not going to lay at home and play games. Amen. And text your friends all day and all that stuff. When you learn how to prove yourself in your working ability, God will provide you a mate. Ooh, Jesus, you're not going to have to go look for her under every little bush and at every little youth camp and every youth conference and all that. God will provide. Adam just woke up one day and there she was, and he said, "Whoa, man." She's going to knock your socks off. But friend, you're going to have to prove yourself. You're going to have to prove yourself before God provides. Amen. And so there was work that was to be done. He was to till and to keep the garden. Amen. But I believe that there was an anxiety, an expectation, a looking forward to on their Timex watch. As they looked and thought to themselves, we're getting close to the evening time, and it's not going to be long before we're going to hear that sweet, melodic voice of God as it drifts through the trees. And we feel the gentle breeze as it brushes against us and crosses over our cheeks and sends cold chills down our backs. Amen. Because that's what's going to happen when you look at your spouse and find her, amen, or him. You're gonna feel that electric chill running up and down your back. Amen. And I believe that's the way that Adam and Eve felt in anticipating the Spirit of God moving, amen, through that place. And when they felt his presence, oh, Jesus, help us tonight. I feel this so much in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I've felt this for a few days now. Amen. I believe that there is a place that God desires to beckon us unto in the cool of the garden. I believe that there is a place that God desires to commune with his creation. I believe that not only is there a place, but there is a time that God desires. In the cool of the evening, there is a time, amen, that God wants to meet with his people. God still wants to commune with his people. Amen. God still wants to hear your voice. God still wants to hear your praise. God still wants to hear your concerns. God still wants to hear, amen, the things, amen, that you care about. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But can I just speak for humanity? Amen. On this side of it all, I still want to hear his voice. I will still want to hear, amen, the gentle whisperings of the Spirit. I still want to hear him, amen, as he calls out unto me and beckons me unto him. I still want to feel his Spirit as it wraps around me and embraces me. There is a responsibility of relationship. Don't fault God if you can't feel him. You gotta get in the place that you can feel him. Get in the place that you can hear him. Get in the place, amen, that God can touch you. Oh, let's love the Lord today. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Isaac, don't worry about that. It'll be okay. Amen. And so, we see that at this time, that they fear God, that they when they have looked forward to hearing the voice of God, when they have looked forward and anticipated, wondering and waiting, feeling, God's fixing to show up in this place. God's fixing to come through in this house. God's fixing to move amongst us. And now they're sitting there with anxiety and with their hands in their pockets. And they're looking around wondering what's getting ready to happen, because there is guilty, amen, there is guilt that is upon them. And they're not looking forward to hearing from the Lord. I feel God in this place here tonight. Amen. I can sense that feeling of guilt. Amen. As people come into this place. Amen. And they walk around. Amen. And you think you got a cool look upon your face, but you got a look of anxiety. Amen. You're like a deer, amen, in the headlights, wondering what's going to happen when God shows up. I want you to know that there's still a group of people in this church that desire God to show up. We desire to be pleasing to God. We desire the Spirit of God to move in this place. Amen. Why? Because we're perfect? No, we're far from it. But when I get in his presence, I know he can cleanse me. I know he can wash me. I know he can take away my every care. I know he'll hear my prayers as I call out unto him. I look forward to coming to church. I look forward to getting in his presence. I look forward to hearing his voice. I want to crawl up in his lap and say, Jesus, would you just hold me for a little while? You know what I'm talking about when you've been through a rough day. Amen. And the cares of life seem to have swamped over you. And the heaviness of the burdens and the cares. Amen. Come over you and weigh you down. And you're struggling. But all of a sudden when you come into his presence. Amen. The Bible said in his presence. His fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And all of a sudden right in the middle of a church service. God begins to cry out unto us. God begins to beckon us. But it's not just God beckoning us. The Bible teaches us that He inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits your praises. You draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you, friend. There's a responsibility that we have. It's not all on God, but we're waiting. We're anticipating, and we're drawing nigh. We're doing our part. And when we do our part, God will do His part. Praise God. And so, the voice of God cries out. Just as the voice of God cries out in our church. And the Lord cried out and said, Adam, where are you? We can make the spiritual, the first Adam. There's us. But He said, Adam, where are you? In other words, Adam, you've gotten a little bit too far away from me. Adam, you've strayed a little bit too far out into the world. Adam, we used to meet right here in sweet communion. But here I am, Adam, and I don't find you anywhere in this place. Amen. There's a lot of people that have been to church, amen, that have been a part of a church 20 years and haven't been to church in 20 years. Amen. They come, but they don't come. They come, amen, and they're there in body, but they're not in there in spirit. They got that blank look ahead of them. Amen. And they're just afraid of what that preacher's going to say. I want you to know here tonight. You hear me tonight. If you go to hell, amen, you're going to wish to God that I'd been a lot more blunt, a lot more plain, and a lot more forceful. You're going to wish to God that I'd have come right down and got right in your face, put my finger in your face and said, boy, if you don't straighten up, you're going to be lost. Amen. You got to straighten up and do right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what the voice of the preacher is. That's what the voice of God is. Amen. God didn't yell out and say, Adam, you're a dead man. He said, Adam, where are you? I feel God is calling out to some people here tonight. He wants to know where you are. He misses His time with you. He misses hearing your voice. He misses hearing your praises being raised unto the heavens. God wants to hear you. God wants to see the tears of love, regret, repentance fall down your face so that He can embrace you with forgiveness and mercy and grace. Where are you, Adam? This is God doing His part. We're talking about responsibilities. This is God doing His part. Amen. This isn't a cold war. Amen. Where God turns His back on you. You better hope that God doesn't turn His back on you. Because there's a tendency that when God turns His back on things, number one, they're either forgotten, or number two, they swivel up and dry up and die. Amen. You better pray for the face of God. You better pray for the voice of God. Hallelujah. And so, God is doing His part. And He says, Adam, I'm still interested in this relationship. Don't tell me that God doesn't have an all-seeing eye and that He didn't see what Adam and Eve did. Don't tell me that God isn't all-knowing and that He didn't know what Adam and Eve did. But with an all-seeing eye, He saw them when they partook of that fruit. With an all-knowing mind, He knew what was happening. He was the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. He knew that they were going to mess up, but He already had a remedy for it because that's how much that He loved them. And so God in His love, I said God in His love, God in His mercy, He cries out unto them, Adam, where are are you? That's his responsibility. I'm not willing to let this relationship dry up. I'm not willing to let this relationship break off. I'm not willing to throw away this relationship. I'm going to reach for you, Adam. I'm going to draw you, Adam. I'm going to call for you, Adam. You're going to hear my voice. You're going to feel my presence. It may feel like pressure, but just the other day it felt like love. Adam, I still want this relationship to happen. And listen to what Adam said. Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I heard you, God. I heard you reaching through that preacher. I heard you, Jesus, but I was unwilling to commit. I was unwilling to go to an altar. I was unwilling to ask for forgiveness. And I was afraid. Why are you afraid, Adam? Just yesterday, we had such a wonderful relationship. Just yesterday, just last week, you were running the aisles. You were worshiping. You were praising God. What's happened, Adam? Adam has to say, I broke the relationship. I broke the covenant. He said, I was naked. Amen. And I hid myself. In other words, there is the breach of covenant. And he hid himself. Amen. That's what the Bible says, that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. God created this earth. Amen. And every time you see wood in the Bible, every time you see trees in the Bible, the reference of wood. Amen. Noah built his ark out of gopher wood. Amen. King Solomon, amen, had the trees of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, shipped to him via the Sea of Joppa. Amen, the trees came in and he built his temple with those trees. Amen, the Bible is full of references and inferences under the trees. And every time you see it, it represents humanity. It represents flesh. And so we see that Adam and Eve, amen, think about it. The ark was built out of wood in the Old Testament, but what's the ark built out of in the New Testament? You and I, that's what it is. We are the church. Amen. Praise God. Surviving the storm that is in this world. Praise God. We make up the temple. Amen. God beautifies the meek with salvation. Overlays us as the pillars in Solomon's temple were overlaid with gold. Amen. God overlays us with gold. Hallelujah. And his beauty shines forth from us. And so Adam and Eve, amen, they have run from the presence of God, and they are hiding themselves in a sea of humanity, such as the case of every backslider that's been full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Feeling the sweet communion of God Almighty, but sin comes into their life, and the first thing that they do is yoke up with the world. They go out there and they hide in the bars, they hide in the pool halls, they hide in the dinginess, amen, in the drunken places, in the degradation of society, amen, in the depths of sin, amen, among all of the alcoholics and the drug addicts. And when you go in, they blend right in with them. That's where Adam and Eve had ran to. But thank God there was a God that was reaching even beyond all of that, and pulling and enticing and calling unto them. And thank God there's a God that's here today, that despite our carnality, despite our weak ways, despite our humanity, despite our flesh, amen, Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ, that's who. He's still crying out to you. He's still reaching out to you. Every day of your life, there is a God that desires to draw you and commune with you. Praise God. Who told you that you were naked? The shame of sin, cloaked in the shame and the condemnation of sin. And sin brought that breach unto that relationship. And Adam and Eve hid and grew quiet. And you don't hear from them. And you call them and they refuse to answer. And you text them and they don't respond. And they grew quiet. They grew quiet. The shame of sin. Praise God. And as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God did His part to bridge that gap of sin between God and fallen humanity. The Bible teaches us in the type, the shadow, that unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. And so there was the blood covenant that was there to cover their shame. And and we know what it represents in the New Testament, so we move on. The Bible said, greater love hath this than no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Romans chapter number 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yea, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me read to you about what the bridegroom did for the bride. Christ becoming an high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling to the unclean sanctify us to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That responsibility of relationship, I want you to know that he went above and beyond to keep it in place. God loved us when we were unlovely, when we were unlovable, when we were unloving. God loved us. Amen. When you had nothing whatsoever to offer unto God, the King of Kings, robed in royalty, in riches and diadems, amen, took off those clothes and stepped out of the robes of glory into the robe of humanity and came unto mankind to draw you back. He didn't have to. I said he didn't have to. He could have let there be just the blood of bulls and of calves and of goats and of heifers to the sprinkling of the unclean, for the sprinkling of the unclean. He could have left it just like that. But God saw not just a better and a greater way. God saw his creation in loving eyes. Amen. With a heart that still loved. Even though, amen, they despised and rejected him. We see that the God of eternity, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God, amen, that used his words to frame this world and create all things. He took off all of that glory. He took off the title. He took off the crown and put on a crown of thorns so that blood would come, so that you could be set free. Amen. When you had done everything to defy the relationship, when you had done everything to breach that covenant, when you had done everything to cause him to turn his back and to walk away from you, amen, God reached out to you. I want you to know today that the greatest message that you will ever hear in your entire life is a message of repentance. Because if God does not love you, he'll just kill you. If God doesn't love you, he'll walk away from you. He's God. He can do what he wants to do. But because that he loves you, he calls for you. Because that he loves you, he won't just let you go. I'm reminded of a prophet by the name of Hosea, who had took unto him the wife, a man of a harlot, by the name of Gomer. And every time that Gomer went out running out into the streets to be with the men of the of that city, here was Hosea, a man in the shame, some prophet going and calling her and beckoning her to come back home. It seems like a despicable story in that there was a prophet that would lower himself and go chase after a harlot who had given herself to all the men of the city, amen, and defiled her body with all kinds of, amen, of dirtiness and uncleanliness. And here is a prophet supposed to be a man of God, amen, that's going after a harlot. And God said, this is the case as it is with my people. They've committed whoredoms, but yet I'm not turning away from them. I'm still going after them. Amen. God said, until death do us part. Until death do us part. And so there is a God that's reaching down to the deathbed. And that's why we can hear of deathbed repentances. Because God said a long, long time ago, I said I do. And I'm going to do everything. That's why the backslider can be gone for years and still lay his head upon his pillow in the hours of the night and still hear the voice of God as God calls his name and says, come home. Come home. Why don't you just give up on me, God? Because I said, until death do us part, I've got a responsibility to this relationship, and I am going to persevere and do everything that I can to keep it. Let's just love the Lord here today. I'm going to try to hurry on through this. I've got a long ways to go. But just as there is a responsibility that was given unto the wife, or just as there was a responsibility that was given unto the husband to love the wife even as he loved his own body, even as Christ loved the church, there was a responsibility that was given unto the wife. Submit yourself unto that man. James said, submit yourself therefore unto God. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what this tells me? Brother Garrett, I love you. Because you're my example all the time. What this tells me is that there's relationship that we have with God. That there is an enemy that's trying to keep us away from God. There's an enemy that's jealous of our relationship with God. There's an enemy that wants to come in between us and God. There's an enemy that wants to push us away from God. He wants to push you away from the voice of God that's calling, Adam, where are you? Go hide. Go hide. Adam, where are you? He's not here. Adam, what's going on? Don't worry about it. I've got him. He's mine. He's mine. And all you have to do is submit yourself to God. And the Bible says that the devil will flee. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You know what? Let me paint you the picture. There is an enemy that's trying to corrupt the covenant, defile the covenant. And all that you have to do is submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Because there is a God that's got this responsibility. That's saying, Adam, where are you? And all Adam had to do was resist the devil.
Now you're going to play the other side. He's a better devil, huh?
All Adam had to do while the devil was standing there in condemnation, with shame. All Adam had to do was resist the devil. Get away, get away, get away, get away, get away. And submit to God. And the bridegroom, stepped forward. Are you messing with my woman? Are you messing with my wife? And the enemy cowered down. And the Bible says that he will flee from you. I don't know a husband that in loving his wife like Christ loved the church, that should there be a man that tries to defile his wife, kidnap his wife, take his wife, he may be 5'1" and may weigh 95 pounds wet. But mess with his wife, and there's a 7-foot monster that's going to come out. And that's the way that God is. God's seeking to save. And he's crying out, where are you? And all you've got to do is say, God, here I am. I messed up. But I want to come back. I want to come back. And there's a God that stands up off his throne and steps down through the clouds. And with defiance and fire in his eye, begins to look at the enemy that's got him bound up. And resistance to the enemy and obedience to Christ will bring God down in fury as the Lamb of God looks
and said, get away. Come on.
You see the responsibility of relationship? You do your part, and God does His part. Let's just love the Lord right now. Thank you. Why don't we stand? And as the church helps me pray right now, I want to say this. I had no intentions of this message going this way. Zero. I'm going to come back to this message in the near future. I had zero intentions of this message going this way. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at, but you are here. You may be watching via live stream somewhere. You may be in this place right now. God is talking to you. God is calling. And you feel ashamed. You feel bound up. Because there's something that's got into your life. There's a hardness that's crept over you that wasn't there just a few days ago. There's a resistance. There's a defiance. There's an unresponsiveness that wasn't there. Today, God's calling for you. He's doing His part. It's time for you to do your part. It's time for you to do your part. These altars are open here tonight. You need to come. You need to make things right with God. It's not God's fault that you're in the situation that you're in. It's not God's fault that you're in the predicaments that you're in. It's not due to a lack of love on God's part, because He's loved you with an everlasting love. His love has been faultless. His love has spanned the chasms of life, the valleys, the gorges. God's love has spanned all of that, and today it spans continually, reaching, calling, beckoning. Where are you? Just like the father of the prodigal son went out on a daily basis, just as God went in the cool of the evening on a daily basis. The prodigal son was out there. The prodigal son's father was out there. Looking. Where's he at? Where's he at? And the prodigal's resistance of the pig pen, the resistance of the world, and the desire to get back to the father's house took off in that journey. And while he was yet a long ways off, the father ran to him. The father ran to him and embraced him and kissed him and said, welcome home. Come on, friend. It is that easy. You don't have to be victorious over the devil. You just got to resist the devil. You don't have to be broken from that addiction. You've just got to resist the devil. And if you will resist the devil and be obedient to God, you say, sir, how do I need to be obedient to God? Answer the call. Answer His voice. Answer Him as He's crying out to you. You hear Him. You hear His voice. He's crying out to you. Where are you at? What is He saying? I'll tell you what He's saying. I'm looking for you. I'm desiring to see you. I'm longing to hear your voice. Where are you at? Where are you at? The responsibility of relationship. He's doing His part. Would you do your part? Would you do your part? Would you reach out to Him? Would you reach out? Would you reach out to the Lord today? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church, help me today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, there is a spirit that is doing His best to defy. But there is a God that's doing His best to reach you. Go ahead. Reach out. Reach out. Adam, where are you? I'm over here. Where's over there? In the trees. I'm hidden. Why are you hiding? So I'm ashamed. Come on. It's time. Commit yourself unto the Lord.